Hi guys, welcome to the first AMX Superstores Pro AMX review show of the year. This is coming to you from Wonthaggi for round number one. Changing things up this year, we're going to be doing it on Sunday night, so it's in your feed Monday morning when you're driving to work, driving to school, driving home from the races, if you're in a state, whatever it is, that's how we're going to do it. So, as you know, we've got to do the usual shout out to the guys at AMX Superstores. Give a massive thank you for their continued support of our Pro AMX coverage. AMX Superstores are the nation's leading motorcycle retail specialist with over 30 stores nationwide from Perth through to South Australia, all the way up the East Coast, over 30 stores, 30,000 products in their retail line and more, from parts, accessories, consumables, from road to off-road, motocross, supercross, adventure. They've got you covered. And if you can't get into a store for whatever reason, make sure you check out amxsuperstores.com.au and they will have you sorted with a fast turnaround and delivery time to boot. So with that being said, Darnell and I are a little tired from a big day at Wonthaggi, but we're bringing you the review of the race that was, and that's Primex round one at Wonthaggi. Let's do it.
Okay, kids, you're in for a real treat today.
He's Jimmy's brother, the guy, the singer.
Gator never been about that. Never been about playing no shit.
It'd be like looking over and seeing your ex-missus with someone else. Like, it's a...
There's a few of them going around the pits, I'm sure that's happened
before. Do you know what I've been smashing lately?
Can we say it on the show?
Why weren't you more successful?
Well, you know, because I sucked, so...
All right, guys, as promised, this is the AMX Superstores Pro AMX review show from round one at Wonthaggi. I'm looking across at a very tired, a very sunburnt Darnell official.
What's up, Joe?
Big day, man.
You're telling me, brother.
We decided that the way we're doing things this year, Darnell's along for the ride, but the team at ID Media Group was staying at the races Sunday night so we can pump out more content, more socials, more press releases, all the things we do. And that includes these recap podcasts. So it's kind of cool for you guys because instead of having to wait till Tuesday or Wednesday or sometimes Friday, you're going to have a Monday morning when you're driving to work or driving to school or driving to home in a state. You know, all the Queenslanders are still going to be driving tomorrow. So here we are.
Yeah, I'll do as many of these as I can. Rendog might have to step up. I know she's tired, but so am I.
Well, we're recording this now. It is 8:30 Victorian time. We've been up since 5. We've been at the races all day. Big day. Let's get into it.
Say what's up, Rendog.
Hi, guys. I'm basically just getting past the microphone from Darnell.
Yeah, basically, dinner consisted of us working and Darnell and Renita arguing over who was going to do the podcast with me.
We just threw Joe in. We all knew that you wanted to hear the man. I mean, he hasn't spoken enough all day today.
To myself. Talking to myself, commentating Primex all day with no co-commentator. It's quite the workload. But anyway, let's get into it. Primex round one, Wonthaggi. We'll start with the track. Sandier one than we've been used to seeing. Track crew pushed a lot of sand on it, Darnell. And the track formed up a little different to usual.
Yeah, I mean, it was good. Obviously, we've had some, let's say, difference of opinion on the track prep at Wonthaggi in the past and a couple of rounds last year. I feel like they nailed it.
They did. They nailed it this year.
Yeah, it got dusty in the afternoon, but that's what you expect. It wasn't overwatered. It wasn't a mudder. We didn't have an Appen situation where it was, you know, it's quite warm today. If you ever see my head and the color of a strawberry, it's pretty much the same. And that gives you the description of today. But, yeah, it was quite warm. So they got enough moisture into it early enough. So on that side of things, I feel like the track crew really killed it this weekend. And that lent itself to really good racing all day, and a track that was raceable. It wasn't a survival or a one line slot car, you know. There was multiple lines. You could make up time depending on the line, depending where the lappers were, everything. Like, it was a raceable track, and between the track and the weather and the racing we got, I mean, that is round one. What a way to start the year.
It was good crowd.
Good crowd, man.
Good crowd. It got a little crazy later in the day because the moisture came out of the hard pack sections and everyone was running paddle tires because the sand sections were still pretty deep. So you saw a lot of square edges, a lot of weird behavior from the bikes on the up ramps and the hard pack sections, which is always attributed to the paddles, especially on the 450s. Like, it was a little hairy at some points. But, man, the racing, let's get into it, man. We'll go straight into Thor MX1. And Kyle Webster, what a statement today.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen Kyle have these rides in the past. Obviously, he's a Wonthaggi local, originally from WA, but he is a Wonthaggi local. And I don't think it really came as a surprise to anyone to see the display that he put on today. Obviously, Moto2, you know, Dino got out to a good start and then Jed got by him and had the lead for a bit, but Webster just rock solid, like just ticked the laps off, caught Jed. I wouldn't say dropped him, but increased a fair margin on him.
Well, I can't remember Moto1. Did Webster hole shot or did he pass? Who did he pass to get to the lead in Moto1?
That was like 6 hours ago. I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember. No, I wasn't. No, because Jed spent the whole of Moto1 trying to get around Webster and he couldn't do it. But I don't think Webster whole shot. Maybe he did. I can't quite remember. Hell of a recap show. But anyway, let's just say that however Webster got to the front in Moto1, I mean, just for context, people forget like MX1, MX2, MX3, Super Pole, MXW. I commentated every single one of those today. So it's a little blurry at times, but basically it was the Beaton and Webster show today. Those guys were...
They were clear head and shoulders above everyone.
Even when you went back to qualifying, Webster goes out, throws down a 43. And then...
Jed threw a 43.
No, Jed threw a 47, went pole, like faster than anybody. Webby put in a 43. And then Jed went 44 and then high 43s to match. And then Jed took out Super Pole.
With a 43.5. And then so Cloudy got second in that was a 40. So
all low, right?
No, he got a 40. Yeah, Jed was 43 and then Cloudy was a 45 in Super Pole for second. Like, that's a fair gap in Super Pole.
Yeah, there was unusual big gaps in MX1 time today.
Like,
man.
I think
like
Gibbsy and Ferris were 47s. I think Toddy was ninth with a 50. Like,
big gaps. Like, I think Medi was 6 seconds a lap off those guys or something in Super Bowl. Like, it was a big gap. But getting back to the task at hand, which was obviously Moto1, we saw that, you know, Webster weathered several attacks from Beaton, and Beaton could not get the move done. And call it track position, call it whatever you want. The track was raceable. It was passable. And Jed could not get by Webster. Webster won by like 1.2 seconds at the flag. Then in Moto2, it was a complete role reversal where Jed blitzed by Webster and Dean and went straight to the lead on lap 2 or 3. And then Jed sort of proceeded to check out. But Webby... I wouldn't say he kept him honest. He didn't even really keep him in sight. Jed dropped him by about 8 seconds when they got to that gaggle of lappers about 15 minutes in.
Gaggle?
Yeah.
A gaggle of lappers.
Well, a flock? Like, what do you call them?
Yeah, I don't know. A herd.
A herd?
I like gaggle. Gaggle's good.
Well, I think it's like a gaggle because when the leaders, like come out of the water hole on them, they're
just like, everywhere.
That
sound in the
intro.
Yeah,
intro.
Hey kid, you're in for a real treat today. Sorry, dude, I'm so tired.
It's like you know, like David Attenborough, he'd be like, yeah. And the factory CDR monster emerges from the berm and
into a gaggle of privateers gaggle and blue flags.
Yeah, the blue flags were not getting much respect today.
No, I mean, and a track like Monty just sort of, if you're in your line, you sort of hold that and hope for the best. Those rollers caught a few people today, including Wilson Todd in the second moto, who decided to go through the banners.
Yeah, shout out to my friend Irish Dan, Danny Boy. He came up into the tower to see me with his boys, his kids. And we were talking, and he's got this thickest Irish accent ever. And he's like, did you see Wilson? And I was like, nah, what happened? And Oh, he used a few choice words I won't use, but he was like, basically he went through the berm. And he's like, he pretty much went through the tire wall and hit us in the fence. Anyway, so then Beaton, with about three laps to go, falls over all by himself in that right-hander out the back. And then Beaton gets up, is about 2 seconds still in the pocket because he had such a big lead. Webby just smells blood in the water, pounces. Within a lap, he's passed him and checked out.
Yeah, it really just reeled him in. I mean, it's an impressive ride. When you can see someone that knows how to ride Bontagi and can do it fast, like Webster and Beaton both can, and if you're in the groove, yeah, it's impressive to watch. Obviously, Wilbur had that moment towards the end of the race. I reckon there was like maybe two laps to go, and he went off the track at the edge of the rollers. And we've seen.
You mean Webby?
What did I say?
Wilbur.
Sorry, Webby. Tired dude, whatever. He went off the track, like just bounced off that, maybe the two rollers to go, and had to cut back in just before the fence and sort of clip the banner on the way in. And in the past, we've seen Webster make mistakes like that, and it really rattles him.
That was the question.
There was a big question of, all right, does he hang on to this, or does he sort of get frazzled by it and Jed gets by him for the win? And that really would have been, like, that was it.
Well, in
like
years past, that's what would have happened. And what happened to Jed is what Webster had done
so many times before. Yeah. And really, that, like, if Jed, that was the race for the overall, you know, 1-2, 2-1.
Well, yeah, when we all go, yeah, Jed's won the overall. He took it to him in Sakamoto, and then Webster turned it around. So hats off to him. Big statement. The question always was, he's got the speed. Can he stay on? Last year, he had the speed, crashed. It happens. So
do we look at this like, is it's so early to say, but is this a one thaggy thing or is this a championship thing with these two?
Time will tell for Webster on hard pack, I feel. And I'm going to say the same for Beaton, because you look at Ferris, the defending champ, in third overall. Now, to me, there's one sand round on the circuit. We just had it.
Yeah. And do you really call it a sand round? Like, one is that weird sand, like it's sand, but it's got that.
Oh, it's definitely not a legit bottomless sand pit, yeah. But it is literally the only sand track on the circuit. Now, Ferris, to me, did not look comfortable all day as far as his settings, his intensity.
To walk away with a, what did he go, 4-3?
4-3 for third overall. For the championship, he's only 12 points out of P1, out of the red plate. He'll take that. He's only 6 points back of Beaton, who I feel really is his actual championship rival. I'm not saying Webster isn't.
But gauging off last year, like 1-2 in the championship, they sort of...
Yeah, those were the two.
You've got to compete with Jed's consistency.
The Honda is not always known to be the best bike on hardpack. So we're going to see how that plays out real soon at Horsham in a couple of weeks. I feel once we leave Horsham, we're
going
to see...
Then we get a clearer picture of what's going on.
We're going to see what the Hondas have done on the hardpack, and we're going to see what Ferris is really made of, because hardpack ruts, 30-minute motos, that's Dean's bread and butter right there. So Ferris today, he's never really done great at Wonthaggi. I think maybe in his domination perfect
season.
Like
in 17, 18.
He won.
16, 17, 18.
Well, like, he won everything back then.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's won at Wonthaggi as much as everywhere else.
We know what he can do at Horsham.
Yeah, that's
especially
what I'm
if we get a bit of rain at Horsham, which is, everyone's in trouble.
It's very possible, and we're going to see. We're going to see Jed. He's going to be on a hard. He's going to be on Ferris territory at Horsham. So we're going to see. Anyway, this isn't a Horsham preview show, but Wilson Todd, fourth overall, really solid day, good starts.
Big careful Wilson moments. Like
a few Wilson moments going into the fence. I think he crashed twice in Moto2.
Yeah, I think so. And I think he went off track. So he went through the banners into the tyre wall. And then I think the next lap he did the same thing, but the banner wasn't there. So he did, and he sort of caught it a bit earlier.
I mean, Ren, you're like the Wilson whisperer. So what do you think of his day?
Well, that's actually... Thanks, Donnell. That's actually something I wanted to ask. How has he been going on the 450? Because when I was watching him today, it looks like his riding style has changed quite a lot from when he was on the 250, in my opinion. But I hadn't seen him at a sand track or a track like Wonthaggi in so long. So
I did notice today he was riding a lot off the clutch. Like, being a 250 rider, you're always, you know, fingers on the clutch. I watched him a lot today through different sections, because that's what I do when I commentate. I just kind of zone out and talk and, like, watch minute details of the riders, and close grip. And to me, close grip always means two things for riders. They're trying to smooth out. So that's a very conscious thing as a coach. I always tell the riders, keep, you know, close grip so you don't disengage the motor, right?
Yeah.
Or they're tired and they don't have the energy to actually grab their clutch. That's the other catch 22. So I don't know what he was doing. I can't remember when I seen him doing it, if it was late in the moto or early in the moto, but he obviously is still transitioning to getting used to riding a 450. I was watching him do really cool stuff. Like after the finish jump, there was a big trench, like just a big trench where the first braking bump was. Mm. And he was jumping that like 20 feet to go to the outside. He was being really playful and efficient, but he was also like 2 to 3 seconds a lap off of Webster and Beaton at times.
Yeah.
Which is a lot.
That is a lot, especially at that sort of track.
Considering he won motos in 22 on that bike in that class.
Blitzed motos. Yeah, mm. Definitely. And so, that's interesting about you noticing that as well.
Yeah, just little things. Mm. I think he's going to figure it out. I think he's going to be a competitor, but it's I don't know. I expected him to jump. I think we've talked about this multiple times now, but because that was his last benchmark of the 450, you just go, oh, that's where he's going to. But then you think about his 250 campaign last year. He had all those injuries in Supercross, all that time off. He's probably not the same rider as he was back then.
True. Very, very true. Well, it'll be interesting to see when we go to the hard pack at Horsham. But like you said, it's not a Horsham preview show. So.
Yeah, it's like there's more unanswered questions after one thaggy than before we started, right?
Yeah.
Right, Nato Crawford. Now we've got the Nato Whisperer. fifth overall, Donnell. Good day for Nato, considering.
Well, interesting weekend for Nato, especially when you... I don't know if anyone knows anything about geography, right? But Wonthaggi's south of the Gold Coast. And
south, yeah.
And Brisbane is north of the Gold Coast. So it's quite strange when Nato's flight left the Gold Coast and landed in Brisbane. Would have been in the air of, or what, 10 minutes?
Well, it's an hour drive, so it would have been... Yeah.
So he was, a little late on Saturday, like obviously a lot later than what they planned to get to the track. And for Nathan, I honestly think that was the best thing that could have happened. Because he can, let's say he gets, you know, caught up in a lot of things. So that sort of relieved the stress and the pressure coming into round one because you didn't have time to think about anything.
Because I was trying to figure out like why... We were shooting some features yesterday and I saw Nato, like writer's briefing had started. He was running up to get his photos done for the, you know, the season headshots for TV. But with his, like putting his gear on running and then he was running back. I'm like, why is Nato doing that now? Like, why is he so unorganized in my head? Didn't know that they took a detour to a different airport. But
that,
yeah.
That also included like Posty and everyone was on that flight.
Yeah, the whole crew. Like,
could Posty. You imagine Posty on that flight?
I can imagine Posey in our kitchen at 10 o'clock last night. It was quite emotional.
Talking about Nathan's race, look, super impressive in the first one. Had a goggle malfunction, I think. I think it was goggles. Pulled in on the first lap.
Rode from dead last back to 7th.
35th to 7th.
Wow.
And then second moto, I think he was 5th or 4th.
Second moto, he was 4th. He was chasing down Ferris for 3rd. Him and Ferris had like this 10 cat and mouse game.
But it was funny on the last lap. I think the gap was at the start of the lap, it was like 1.2. And I think if Nato had got like 2 to go instead of 1 to go, he pushes harder in that lap and he can probably get onto the back of Dean, whether he passes him or not. But I think once he's seen the, and this is where I said to you, if coming into the season, if this is 250 Nathan and there's a lap to go and he's in 4th and there's 1.2 seconds in it, he's going to go balls to the wall and as fast as he can to try and do anything he can to get that position, which might pay off. But now I think he's being smarter, you know, thinking long term. Don't push it. Something could go wrong in the last lap. Settle for the 4th. Take the 4th. He walks away, what, 5th overall?
Yeah, look, solid points. I mean, he's 18 down on the red plate, which is a lot leaving round one, but you know,
is it though, with how, and I say this every year and you disagree every year and you're proved wrong every year, with how stacked
oh, so, hot takes. Got claws when he's tired. Damn.
No, but this class is so stacked. I mean, you look through...
I mean, look, last year there was multiple DNFs and a lot of crazy results. I don't see that happening this year.
No, but you look at... All right, so Kyle Webster gets a win today. Jed could clearly get the... You know, can clearly get a win. Dino, same thing. Wilson on the day, yep. Cloudy, for sure. So you think there's six guys. So that top six can restructure very quickly and all of a sudden Kyle Webster gets a fifth and Nathan gets a win. Well, there's 12 points back.
No, I agree. I'm not saying he's out of it, but I'm saying it's a lot to leave after the first round down. I was impressed with Nathan. I really was. I knew he'd be fast. I didn't think he'd be that solid down the stretch. It sounds silly because we all know how fit he is as a professional athlete, but mentally riding that one track on the 450, it was really impressive how much he was charging, man. He got onto the backside of Ferris like three times, but just couldn't make a move happen. So he was fourth in Moto 2, but that was a good ride. Now, Cloudy, he was really fast in Super Pole, got second.
Yeah, P2 in Super Pole. That was.
And if I'm just being honest, watching everything that I watched today, and you tell me the same thing, I mean, his interviews in the Empire content that we'll put out tomorrow will kind of surmise this too, but the bike looked really good for him at the start of the day. I think they were caught off guard with certain things with how rough it was in Moto 1, and they were just sort of unable to get the settings to where he needed to feel comfortable because he just couldn't charge to that Super Pole speed after that.
Yeah, and obviously the track's gone away a lot more from Super Pole at the start, you know, at the start of the day with a fresh track to how it is in Moto 1. Like, there's already been, what, three motos
well, in between the way time. They run the TV schedule now, you have MX1, Moto 1 after lunch.
Mm.
So they get two motos in the space of an hour and a half, right?
Mm.
But they haven't seen the track for 2-3 hours before that first race.
Yeah, and like it's not like they do a full track prep between
in
that lunch break.
They clean
the up ramps up and, you know, make it a little bit safer. But yeah, that track is very different from Super Pole to that opening moto. I mean, for Cloudy, along with, you know, obviously Jed jumping on a new bike, second's really good. But for Cloudy, like we said, moving to the Cowie team, like, it's a completely different bike. Ren, if you're gonna laugh.
Yeah, what are you laughing at? I'm yawning, I'm tired.
No, with Cloudy going to
with Cloudy, look, here's the thing. Obviously the Yammy is not an all new bike for this year, the 450.
That KX is.
The KX is.
New team, new bike.
And I will say this after riding it on Thursday.
Mm.
It is actually all new. Like, you know, when they say all new, you know, generation, but it's pretty much all the componentry of the previous model and they tweak this, they tweak that. That Cowie is a new, like, all new Cowie. Completely different. Like when that Yamaha came out in 18 or 19, whatever the new one was.
Yeah, 18, 450, and then 23, they changed.
So whatever that first generation new Yammy was that they're still on, this is what that Cowie is for Cowie.
Mm.
So globally, you know, they've got Showa working, you know, Taka and that working with Cloudy, but you can test all you want. There is no track or environment you can train on that's going to replicate one Thaggy.
I think that's the biggest thing too. Like, obviously the chassis is different, the motor's different, everything's different, but Cloudy going from KYB at CDR to now Showa, that'll be a big change. There's a lot of testing that needs to be done with that. It's really cool that they've got Tucker on board and using his just wealth of knowledge, especially with like suspension and that Cowie. Like, he's,
it's a good combo. I think the reality is, you know, you look at, see, Ferris and Beaton and Webby have that European MXGP riding style because they have the influence of Ross. They've all also raced MXGP. I mean, Webby's only done a couple, but he's been over there. Cloudy has American style. He grew up at Millsaps training facility, did amateurs. He was at MTF when I went there briefly. You watch him ride. So the way he's aggressive and how over the front of the bike he rides, his bike has to be set up well because he's aggressive and punchy with the power, and he uses the power to get himself up off the bike out of the turns.
It needs to be stiffer than what I think the others do.
It needs to be more rigid. It's American style. That's why he rides Supercross so good, because he likes a rigid bike, right? The catch 22 of that is when that isn't where he needs it, in my opinion. I don't know this for a fact, but it's just watching him ride over the years. It doesn't get him comfortable to the point he can do that. So it's interesting. Right, Waters 7th overall, Maddie 8th overall, Gibbsy 9th overall, Zach Watson 10. Briefly, Todd, for better or worse, it's the Todd we've come to know over the last couple of years. He's just there. He's fast, but he's not elite sprint speed anymore. But a good day for Todd. Maddie was actually better than I thought he'd be.
Well, same boat as Cloudy. Maddie's all new bike.
Yeah. And
obviously not. I don't think he's had a lot of time with that bike.
No, he definitely hasn't. They didn't get the bikes till they got the deal done late, and they got the bikes not long ago.
Yeah.
I saw him at the Sunny States the other day, and he was just starting to do suspension testing, and that's why he was there. So, considering, and normally, you know, Maddie, he always has those one or two rounds each year when he's up to speed. That's going to come in SA. We've got two SA rounds.
Murray Bridge.
Can't wait to see him ride there. And Gilman. He always rides well at Gilman.
He rides well at Gilman. I think Murray Bridge is more Maddie's style. It's that fast American style track, and I think that'll suit Cloudy too.
Yeah, Cloudy always did well at Murray Bridge. I mean,
and same with Nato and that lot.
Murray Bridge is going to be sick. I can't wait.
Yeah. But with Maddie, I think the thing to take away, like he got, what, 8th overall today? He could be 15th. He could be 1st. Doesn't matter. Crowd just loves him. And his interaction with the fans and spectators, like, comes off after Super Bowl. It's all high fives to the whole wall of kids, like, hanging out trackside. And then you just see people congregate around his tent, whether it's fans, industry people.
Anybody.
Anyone. Like, he's very welcoming, very open, and just, it's Maddie, man. Like, this is probably, yeah. Let's say, is this the last year?
That's why I would say 24 and 24. It's his last year. That's why he's going again. I think it's 24 years as a pro or something.
And he's number 24?
Yeah, it's all, I might be completely out of line.
And it's 2024. 24. It all makes sense.
It does. It aligns. So, we're going to see more of Maddie. Right, let's move it across now. AMX Superstore's Primex recap show. We're going to go to probably MX2. It was the HRC Honda Duo show of Connolly and Ferguson. Sounds like a law firm.
Connolly and Ferguson.
Jesus.
That's quite funny, Joe.
That is pretty good, yeah. Just deliriously cracking jokes right now. Right. Connolly goes out. So Connolly goes 2-1. Ferguson goes 1-2. No. Ferguson goes 1.
Fergo goes 1-3, Connolly goes 2-1, and then Ryder Kingsford went 4-2.
That's right, because Ferguson, I don't know what happened to Ferguson in the second moto, but somehow he was way back.
Mm. Charged.
Do you know what happened to Ferguson in the second moto? Yeah. She's shaking her head. Okay, cool. Right. The word on the street was, is this my understanding, Connolly was meant to go to America. He was meant to ride Supercross. He went to America after Primex.
Got hurt.
Come
back.
The team decided, hey, we're going to put you back in Primex again. And that's what they did. Now, he'd been coming
good
back.
Good move.
Good move. I mean, if we're being real, was the only rider to beat Nato and
Wilson.
Wilson straight up last year on 250. So, bang to rights. He should be the guy.
And I think he is, in everyone's eyes, he is the odds-on favorite for this title. But Noah, we said it in the previous show, this is a big year for Noah. It's go time now.
Yeah, he's a three-year vet in 250s.
Shown speed all the time. Now we just need that consistency. But I don't think we've seen, like, wins the opening moto of the year. Statement, yeah, ride.
Big statement. And even Moto 2 coming from a long way back. And normally that's when you see Ferguson having the speed, getting up to fifth, and then
tuck the front or cartwheel or something like that. But he kept it.
We didn't see
composed.
That. Very composed.
I think this is the new, and obviously for him, that's a new bike. He spent so much time on European bikes.
Yes.
With Davey and then with Gas last year. So for
the
him,
Honda suits him, man. He looks really good on
and
it.
And I think that suits his riding style, like that chassis, the aggressive handling that you can.
Yeah, he turns the bike with his feet, very twitchy on the lean, like he throws it into the turns. It worked well, but man, Connolly, two great starts.
That's all you can really say. Like, yeah, he got started.
Solid, man.
But I think the same thing, if Brody doesn't get those starts, I still see, like the pace is so high with him that he's going to be up front either way.
Oh, look, I don't see it being any different at Horsham in a few weeks. Connolly is going to be – he's the real deal this year.
And he's – that's the thing. He's not – I don't see it – that's not a chink in the armour or anything like that, but he's – so adaptive to conditions.
Or he can win in the mud.
He can win in the mud. He can win in the sand. Hard pack. You know, whatever it is, he's technically sound in all terrains. So I think it'll be interesting to see if he can get a hold of this championship early. It's big trouble for everyone else.
Yeah, there's only a 2-point swing right now between him and Ferguson, but it's going to be interesting to see where it goes. Ryder Kingsford, man, good to see him back on a Primex podium. Kingsford third overall. Just solid. He was fast, but again, didn't cartwheel, didn't crash out. The stuff that we've seen him be renowned for over the last couple of years, having the speed, but it not working out.
Fastest qualifier, too.
He did go P1 in qualifying.
146, that's moving on a 250 at one either way. Yeah. And how
deep it would have been in the morning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was going really fast, man. He's so fast when he can sprint.
Yeah.
Kingsford, solid move. Yamalube this year, Yamalube Yamaha. And yeah, it's a home race for him training with Beaton's crew, but it was good, solid. Cosford, very underrated, quiet fourth overall.
Well, here's the thing with that, obviously very consistent results, consistent moto scores.
Did he go like 7-5 or something?
Yeah, what's that, 15 and 18 points? So what's that, 7-4,
yeah,
because he was up front early in that second moto.
He was. And he just stayed held there. Strong. So it was basically Cosford, Budd, and Jack Mather. No, it wasn't. It was Cosford, Budd, and Kader Minear in the second moto. They were 4, 5, and 6. And for the last 15 minutes of the moto, I kept going like, all right, one of them's going to make a run. Like, okay, here's the lap. Like, Minear's going to catch Budd, or Budd's going to catch. And then no one did. They just stayed like 2 bike lengths apart for 15 minutes. I don't know if that was a sign of how hard the track was to move out of the line or whether it was just they were matching each other for speed, but that's what it was.
Yeah, I mean, Reese, the second motor, for Reese Budd to come away from this round with a fifth overall, good result in the end because that first moto,
not good.
Not good.
No. I think we can say not good because Reese has moved past that.
Sorry. Like, it's a good, he rode okay, but it's not what we expected from Reese.
Well, it's not what he expects of himself. Like, he genuinely considers himself a title contender, which I think he is too. So that, where did he get in Moto 1?
I think, what's 12 points? Why is it in points? Why am
I think he was like 8th or 9th. So that's pretty far back considering I think he got passed quite a few times as well.
9th in Moto 1.
Jack Mather, 6th overall.
Debut year.
Very solid ride, man.
Like, he was
didn't win an MX3 championship in motocross.
Mm.
Won a supercross title, but
was always there in MX3.
Yeah, I mean, I think he broke a collarbone and did a MCL in the same year last year. And maybe that hindered his progress as far as what I thought he was capable of on motocross, because when he rode that 450 at the Sunny States the other day and was giving it to Toddy and Wilson and Dino to a degree for a few laps there, I was like, man, this kid can ride outdoors. And today he showed that.
Well, it was 8th in Moto 1. And I think he and Reese both very lucky in Moto 1 that they weren't 9th and 10th, because Jai Constantino did actually pass Mather on the last lap and crashed over the roller just before the finish. So that's unfortunate for Jai. But not great first motos for Jack. 8th in your debut 250 moto. Like, cool. That's a great result.
That's great, man. I mean, you look at, you know, what it led to with 6 overall. I mean, he's beating Minear, Byron Dennis. I mean, Dennis obviously had that issue in Moto 2. But let's get to Minear, 7th overall. I think he was 6th in Moto 2. I'm going to say that he's building. I don't think people... I sometimes judge him harshly between his age, and then I forget that he literally destroyed his humerus at Supercross 6 months ago. Not even. It was November, October. He's just moved to Queensland, new training program, rebuilding. I would anticipate we see him battling with those front three guys?
I think you give him time to build some strength back up in that. Like, I don't think that there's injuries and everything like that, so he's still got time to build. I mean, six in Moto 2, that's a good result.
It isn't when you consider what he's capable of, but when you look at him being in the battle and the way he was riding.
I think it could have been a lot worse today.
Oh, for sure. So I'm saying six.
Damage control in second moto, very good.
Very good. Like six on paper, you go, eh. But you look at what he did to get that six, it was really solid. Man, KJ, eighth in the sand. He was actually pretty stoked. I talked to him after.
Yeah, I went and seen KJ this morning after seventh in Moto 1. He couldn't see for like three laps. Going over the rock off Reed Taylor off the start. Right. And it just sort of messed with his vision a little bit with the roll-offs. Yeah, because like we said on the previous show, KJ and Wontagi is...
it's like, about as good as KJ, like, and Coolum, right?
Yeah, it's like peanut butter and gravel. You know, like it's not a combo. KJ and hard pack, peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, KJ's at home in clay and rocks. You look at and I spoke mountains.
I spoke to KJ obviously a lot throughout the day. He got through this with what was it, 7th, 8th overall.
Yeah, that's a really solid start.
Yeah. We're having a technical difficulty. I reckon it's his headphones.
Probably is. They've seen some serious kilometers.
Yeah, speaking to KJ throughout the day, this is the one round this year he doesn't like.
What's the only sand round? As I'm saying, for him, it's the only sand round.
He,
like, watch him at Horsham in hard pack ruts.
And he won, I think people forget, he's won motos at Horsham in MX3. Yeah. So, but
no, you're right. He's going to do good there. I know it's coming for him.
And I think Murray Bridge is a KJ-style track. I think Gilman is a KJ-style track. Are we going back to Maitland?
Yeah.
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 He was running third there until he twisted his thumb back to his elbow, put him out.
Wow.
Well, that was
his... That's what happened, his first ride on the Yamaha.
No, that was the last ride on the Husky.
Yeah.
Because that was his last ride riding for us.
That's right.
That was the farewell tour.
Now, talking to guys that ride for you, Byron Dennis, man, Moto 1, very impressive. Third in Moto 1, right?
Was it third or fourth? Let's have a look here. No, third in Moto 1.
Yeah, third in Moto 1.
Podium in a moto.
In your rookie MX2 moto. Man, Dennis, I've said this to a few people. You look at, you know, some kids, yeah, they win an MX3 championship. Not diminishing that.
It's a big jump.
It's a big jump to pro. And it very,
sometimes
very
it takes
rarely
a bit of time.
Translates instantly. For him to do what he did in MX3 last year, where he just kept getting better and better and better, and then clearly his learning curve straight into MX2 is just as steep. I really think he's going to be one for the future watching him today.
Yeah.
And also, he's gone from being a MX3 size rider to like a giant.
Yeah. I mean, he was always like tall. But now he's
filled out.
He's filling out. He can really handle that bike. Yeah, it sucked to see him have to push it back to the truck in the second moto.
Yeah, I didn't catch what happened there.
I haven't had a chance to speak to him yet.
I know K-Pek interviewed him on TV, but I didn't hear what she said. So
no, that was a good ride for him. I think it's really with him. You look at the last couple of MX3 champions that we've had come through. No one's had that statement ride straight away.
I think Caden had one podium in his first year, didn't he?
Yeah. Not opening moto, though, you know what I mean?
They take time to start the year.
Blake Fox, same thing. Like, you know, these last couple of MX3 champs. And, you know, Caden's there. He'll get there. But I think for Byron to make a splash so quickly, I think it's going to be a fast progression with him.
I think so, too.
But again, and this is what you look at. I think everyone had the same thought after Moto 1. Top 5 in MX2. All Ross's guys. All Wani local guys.
I don't think that's going to change much for the season, though, because it just so happens that most of those guys are Ross's guys, but that they're just the best guys. Brock Flynn, quiet day, but 10th considering the class. That's actually pretty solid for him. Ryan King.
That was really cool to see in, was it Moto 2? I think he got 8th.
Yeah, King rode well. He's doing it out of New Zealand on the hybrid team between like New Zealand Honda and Moto 1 Honda over here. Notable mentions, Larwood, man, just the luck just keeps not working out for him.
We seen him. We bumped into him when we were having dinner tonight.
Yeah. Moon Boot. We don't want to say. I don't want to say right now. People probably don't know. Like public knowledge, he'll come out with it, but he's gonna be off the bike for a bit, probably.
Yeah. Was it last lap of the first moto, eh?
Yeah, so he finished the first moto with what happened to his lower leg. And then obviously couldn't go to moto 2.
Yeah, it's such a bummer because it's so much and he just keeps getting time and time again.
But this is what literally, I don't want to say that this is killing his career. I don't want to say that, but this is what kills momentum. Like you look at 2022, he was battling Wilson Todd to win at One Thaggage member. Then he got hurt. Then last year, I don't even think he came back last year, did he? Or did he get hurt?
He got hurt at round one.
Okay. And now he's hurt again.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is what just derails momentum, unfortunately.
Not so surprisingly because of Alex's character and everything like that, but he was pretty... like in high spirit, not high spirits, let's not say high spirits, but he was, it was, yeah, he was better this afternoon when we spoke to him than what I'd expect him to be.
I said to him, you're taking this really well. Did I say that at dinner or at the track? I can't remember. He's like, yeah, man, well, there's not much I can, you know, he's pretty, but unfortunately when you've been injured that much, it does become somewhat.
And you can see he's obviously devastated still, that this, you know, that's happened again, but. Yeah, it's not that he's accepted, you know, that this has happened again, but he's just, he'll heal up and we'll see what happens from here.
Oh, can you stop yawning, Ren? You're making me yawn.
Go away. No,
it's contagious. Haruki Yokoyama is out here on a Japan-backed
Honda
250. He was 13th. Malkiewicz on the privateer-backed Yamaha. Now, I've got to correct myself because the Witten brothers, WBR, is actually the main contributor to Malkiewicz's program with bikes. I got that wrong.
What did you say it was?
I said it was Serco Yamaha supporting him. When Serco Yamaha no more, but I sort of thought with the Serco
connection
that Gavin sort of pulled something together. So they weren't mad, but Travis was like, hey man, like
that's our deal.
That's our deal.
Yeah, correct or don't come at all.
I'm correcting myself.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's kind of the notable mentions outside of the top 10. Let's get to MX3 real quick. And
well, good segue after talking about Trav at WBR.
Yeah, well, WBR now own MX3.
Thank you for coming. What a day.
Kobe Hannes, Kobe Drew, Cade Kingsford, WBR Yamaha 1, 2, 3. You'll be stoked because it was Alpine Star 1, 2, 3.
I'm just going to correct you. Alpine Stars 1, 2, 3, 4. Jed Allsopp in fourth.
There you go.
What a
what a turnaround,
man! To see
look at him perk up now.
Yeah, right? I'm up and about. Look at that. I'm not tired anymore. We're talking about stuff that
I'm talking about my brand.
No, to see the guys, you know, for WBR to be back to their roots as a development team.
It felt right, didn't it?
It did.
It felt right watching them back in MX3, and I said that to Trav and Nate. Sorry, no. I'm tired.
Trav and Nath?
Yeah. Witten. I said Nath, not Nath, and then I stuttered.
Anyway, carry on.
I said it to the brothers.
Yep. The Witten brothers.
The WBR Racing. It just felt right. Like, they look...
They're very good at...
Better or for worse, Yamaha's had the restructure.
And they've come out of it pretty well.
Look, man, it always worked for them. I remember Caleb Barham riding for them. Did Byron ride for them? No.
No.
I'm tired.
No.
He did not ride for them. But I remember Hugh McKay is who I'm thinking of. But they've had so many guys
Jai come Roberts.
Through. Jai Roberts.
Cody Dice.
Dicey
was Dice YJR.
And then he went to that CSA team before it was Empire. Mm-hmm. Remember? Mm-hmm. Anyway, regardless, felt right. It felt like coming home. And I tell you what, clean sweep of the opening round would certainly make them feel that it was the right choice.
Yeah, just saying that, obviously, we had the I had the Kodak disposable camera out today and get to the podium and post this, like, wind that bad boy up. This is a Kodak moment. So
ooh, that's good.
And that was really, it was really, really cool to see. And to see the family vibe around the truck, too, afterwards, with some non-alcoholic champagne mocked up at the at a fake podium that we built. It was really cool to see the boys celebrating and get around each other. I'm going to blow out Kobe Hantus a little bit here, right? Yeah. Stoked that he got the win. I kind of forget that he's like 16 because they've got the non-alcoholic champagne. Obviously, not a lot of experience with champagne as he's trying to blow the cork off with the wire still wrapped around the top of it.
Rookie move.
But, man, for him to, like, first moto win, first overall. Sick.
I can't even, there were so many changes for the lead and positions in MX3. It was hectic. So I'm just going to say, like, between them, there was just a lot of good racing. And I can't remember who. I think Hannes won Moto 2.
Yes. Over Kingsford and Drew. So they went 1-2-3 in the second moto and 1-2-3 overall.
Yeah. So there was the lone, well, there wasn't the lone KTM. There was the two KTMs. So Deacon Pace.
Fourth.
Moto 2. I think Ren wants the mic.
Yeah, because I want to talk about Deacon Pace because I was getting him ready to interview. So you guys should definitely check that out on Moto1's Instagram. But I was talking to Deacon because I was like, that's an epic ride. And he said, yeah, I got the start really well. Everything was good. He goes, the guy who was behind him obviously passed him. I can't remember his name right now.
It would have been Hannes, yeah.
Yeah. He goes, he was catching me, so I wanted to see how I could keep improving, right? So he ended up getting past him and then tried to follow. Said he hit a false neutral, and then from there it just didn't happen. But that first three quarters of that second moto for Deacon, you could just tell that, like, he was on fire. And, like, are we going to start to see these little glimpses? Is this that growing pace of now Deacon to get to the top?
I think Deacon, and this isn't, the pace thing's really cool for the pun, which but he has a lot of pace. It is. But I would say that for obviously the fitness and intensity level that he has, when he's on, I think he almost got the class leading speed, is what it looked like to me today, at least. I don't think he has the fitness or the mental capacity to maintain it for the entire moto, but man, when he hole shot that second moto, he was sprinting. Mm. And the WBO Yamaha boys collectively were there and they got him. But, yeah. You know, teams always say, you know, we can work with speed. Coaches, we work with speed. Like,
yeah.
You can work with speed. You can take that and refine it. And for him, I think he had a third at the final moto at Coolum last year, and he was a pretty unknown privateer from WA.
Yeah.
I know Josh Robinson's built him a weapon of a 250.
Yeah.
That thing is so fast. And he ripped a big hole shot in Moto 2. He had a good start in Moto 1.
Mm.
So I think you're going to see, look, clearly the WBR team, you know, Kay Kingsford, younger brother to Ryder, the pedigree speaks for itself. He's going to be there.
Yeah, that's where Deegan's got really high pace. And Kay's one of those. Yeah. But I think Cade's also at that.
Yeah, Cade has that high sprint speed. And he can probably maintain it better than Deacon can right now. Mm-hmm. And then Kobe Drew, like Kobe Drew and Kobe Hannes are like really man-sized children, as in they're in the junior class still, but they're big. So what I mean by that is,
and that
they're strong and they have tall endurance. And
I think that lends itself to at a track like Wonthaggi, where you can use that extra leg length. We saw Kai Woods lead early in Moto 1.
Yeah, Woods won Moto 1. Can't forget him. But, I hate to say it. I like Kai.
It's kind of the same story.
I was like, you know, we normally see him crash and he leads races, but he's grown and he's matured and he did. Moto 1 was so dialed. Then Moto 2, he crashes out. And you're like, oh, man, it still needs to be worked on, unfortunately. But I hope he's okay. He walked off the track in Moto 2. But, man, Moto 1, he took the opening moto win of the season. It was really impressive. Now, Allsop back from obviously ACL last year. You know, I thought he did really well considering he hasn't raced for probably nearly a year.
Well, obviously, yeah, I've spent a lot of time with Jet and his family and been involved in their program. At about we were 4 minutes into that second moto, and I reckon I had to talk Benny off a ledge, his old man. He's like, oh, all getting frustrated because Jet's running around in 19th. And I'm like, we're 4 minutes into this race. Give it time. Comes home in seventh. We walk away with a fourth overall.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great result. And I had to, and Jet wants to win. That's
I do believe Jet can win this championship.
So do I.
I do. I think it's going to take a few rounds, but he's got to get through these few rounds with points and build. He can't do that if he crashes out.
And that was the thing I spoke to him this afternoon. With Jet, he was okay. He was stoked with a fourth, but he wants to win, and you could see that little bit of disappointment in him. And I sort of had this chat to him. I go, well, the last time you came to a Pro MX, I go, where were we at the end of your motor wasn't even finished. Where were we? He's like sitting in the back of a ute with a blown with a bike that had just blown up. And then he goes out and does his ACL. Mm-hmm. I go, so remember how you felt at
what was that?
Gilman.
Gilman, yeah.
I said, remember how you felt at Gilman and how much that sucked? I go, this fourth looks like a win now, doesn't it? You know, it's a to get this mentality into these kids, and you've got to, we all forget, these guys are kids. I mean, Jet Allsop's like 800 feet tall, looks like a man.
But he's still a kid, man. It's MX3, they're kids. And even the MX2 riders are kids. It is perspective and learning. So Seth Shackleton, great ride for Shacks, really consistent. He was six on the day overall. Man, tell you who I really want to give a shout out to is the 211 of Caden Strode. Strody, seventh overall, local Victorian kid, trains with Jade Oates. He used to coach with me at some point back in the day as well. But Strody, he's not like one of these touted juniors. He was just like a really hardworking kid. I used to go coach them back in the day at this little backyard track they had. It was tiny at this house they had. And talking to his dad, and I'm like, what's he doing? He's like, yeah, he's left school. He's working part-time. He rides a few days a week. And we're not we wanted to do well, but obviously we're not pushing it.
We're in, but we're not
all in. Like, we're doing it the smart way, I guess you could say. And he's like, he rides really well. He can run fast times. He's just got to show us he can do something. And look, even I was talking to him on Sunday morning, this morning, and I was like, man, you riding here much? He's like, nah, I don't really ride here. He's like, I do a few practice days, but, you know, I don't train with Ross's crew. I don't train Ross's crew, and that's pretty much those guys get on the track, and then you just come here for practice days if you don't. So to see him in that second moto, be sixth or seventh in the moto and get seventh overall, like, that's just a really good feel-good story. So shout out to Strody, great job. Woods was eighth overall with that DNF. I don't know a thing about Jack Deverson, but I said his name a lot today, I felt like.
Yeah, it looked like he was running pretty fast.
He was. So someone please educate me. I'm sorry. That sounds silly. Also, Max Compton. You know, NWA, I don't know. I don't know much about him either, but I said his name a lot too. Jackson Fuller out of Queensland. I think he's pretty young. He's still a junior. 11 overall. We keep going, but that's...
Well, the other one that stands out to me on the list, I'm going to absolutely try and butcher this name. Not try, I'm going to try and get through it. Phoenix Van...
It's Dusherton.
Right.
Yeah.
Kiwi. Kiwi through and through. I don't think there's any Dutch connection to his family.
Yeah.
It's like they drew that name out of a hat.
Yeah, well, he's part of the Kiwi contingent that's riding with the Moto One.
And he rode really well.
Yeah.
He rode really, really well today. And I think the reason he stands out to me, because he runs a 7-2-2-2.
On the Honda.
Our friend. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Obviously, yeah, and yeah. Yeah, and is our old roommate. 7-2-2-2. Yeah, I just clocked that. I didn't realize he was 7:22 until right now.
Yeah.
Rip it, wad it, swerve.
Yeah.
Rip it,
hold up to the swerve. Track. It's 7:22. Yeah.
Ranger danger with your crew.
All right, we don't need to go. If we're going to start singing motor songs, we're going to sing the Emigos commercial. That's about it.
He's a racing man.
Start every morning with a... If you know, you
if
know.
You know, you know.
I just wanted to say stop, guys, because you're going to lose listeners, all right?
No, it's cool. It's we've been Fresno there. Smooth. We're going to show you Fresno Smooth.
Oh, I don't think we do.
So
we're going to get a Fresno.
For all the listeners, if you're in a 90s motocross, Adam, you must have seen Fresno Smooth. Have you seen Fresno Smooth?
The OG Shift movie?
Okay.
You would have seen, yeah, there's
we're,
definitely...
We're sidetracking,
there's
but it's
a, there's,
it.
A, there's a definite divide. There's a certain... age demographic that will know Fresno Smooth, and then there's these, like, the kids and stuff, these, and even like a lot of my mates haven't seen it.
It wouldn't mean anything to anybody that wasn't born in
through
the
90s moto. It's just It had, what was it, Tony Hawk and who else was in that?
Wait, I have a question. Yeah. Was Danny Ham in this?
No, Danny Ham was not in this.
Did you know he's in Terra Firma 2?
Terra Firma 3.
After Terra Firma 3, this movie was made.
Yeah.
But
it got released a lot long after.
If there's youngsters listening, don't go watch
Fresno Smith. Don't go watch Fresno
Smith. It is a rated R movie. And it was made by the guys that run Shift and Fox back in the day. But if you're an adult, you need to find Fresno Smith on the internet. Because it is
on YouTube. The whole thing's on YouTube.
It's a feature motocross movie.
It's epic. It's got Ice-T in it.
It's
got
Ice-T, Tony Hawk.
A guy named Ron that we can't really name what profession he's from.
It does have Ron.
Anyway, this isn't a review of Fresno Smooth. This is a review of one. Thank
it's
you.
It's good.
You've been listening to Inside Dirt. I need to go to bed, dude.
Oh, wow.
We've got to do the women, all right? Can we move on to the women?
We're going to do MXW now.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically Charlie Cannon is still Charlie Cannon.
Charlie Cannon is just still bloody fast.
Yeah, it was super impressive. Now, Taylor Thompson.
She did really well.
She wrote great, man. She made it interesting.
Yeah.
Whole shot one of the motos. What I respect about Taylor is that she will always get a start and try to take it to Charlie.
And didn't she hold Charlie off for a lap or two?
Yeah, yeah. It was about a lap, give or take. But
yeah.
I think just the mental capacity to like keep getting beaten.
Yeah.
I mean, Charlie beats all the girls. But to keep getting challenged or have the pep in your steps, keep challenging her, you know.
Yeah.
It was impressive. So Taylor Thompson did great. Second overall, I think.
Yeah.
And then we had, who was that overall?
I can't remember at the moment.
Hold on, let me get the results up here.
Sucked that Taylor McCutcheon wasn't at round one. Obviously, she suffered that preseason.
McCutcheon is the gap. She's like the
she's in between
Charlie and everybody else. She can battle with Charlie. We've seen her beat Charlie occasionally. But unfortunately, you know, we talked about her in the previous show. We wish her the best. Now, Danielle McDonald.
Yeah, she did really well.
She crossed over from AORC and off-road. And when I was commentating, I didn't even correlate that it was the same Danielle McDonald that does AORC. I was like, I don't know who this Danielle McDonald is. You know, come out of nowhere. Because I'm an idiot sometimes. And
sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Danielle McDonald's a killer off-road racer. Dude, obviously,
and she
teammate to Jess Gardner and got the win on Sunday at AORC at Roma.
Yeah, she's this little well-spoken thing.
Did she do the 6-day as well?
Yeah, yeah, she does.
Yeah, help Team Australia.
So this year she's doing 4-day, 6-day AORC and Primex. And man.
Yes, girl.
She.
Sorry.
You good?
Love it.
Okay. Third overall. She put some aggressive passes down in Moto2 to get to third.
Mm-hmm.
She put like veterans like Maddie Healy and Emma Lesovich, like, I hate to say it, like, put them in their place. Like, chopping them off at the front wheel before jumps. Like, and she's this little quietly spoken.
Yeah, petite little thing,
petite
isn't
little
she?
Thing.
Yeah.
Like, in the podium with Kate, she's like, thank you so much.
Yeah,
like,
had
you
know, so much fun out there.
But then on the track, I was like, oh my God. Like, she was just slamming doors. It was great. So, that was really impressive.
Obviously, we love to see the girls out on track as well. And, you know, I wish we could have MXW at more events. But it's good to see them at One Thaggy.
Yeah, it's stable. It's normally got a pretty big – they don't know going to – are they going to SA? I forget where the calendar goes other than the final two rounds. I think they have an SA. Yeah, well, they have to have an SA round because there's two rounds in SA and they're not going to Maitland. So it's one of those. And they're not going to Horsham. So
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, with that being said – this has been the AMX Superstores Prime.
They're at Toowoomba too.
Yeah, the last two. Yeah.
No. So they're at Toowoomba and they're at QMP. They're not at Gympie.
Oh, okay.
They're at Murray Bridge.
Right. Oh,
man, I'm excited to see Charlie Cannon attack Murray Bridge.
Yeah, man.
That's gonna be impressive.
She will ride that track really well.
Is it too early to call perfect season?
I don't think so. I think it's pretty feasible now that Taylor's out, but we'll see. All right, guys, thank you for listening. This has been the AMA Superstores Primex Review Show from One Thaggy. We hope you enjoy the new delivery time of Sunday night, Monday morning.
I don't know if it's adding, it might get to you quicker, but the quality might not be as good.
I don't know. I think when it's fresh in my mind, it helps me a lot.
Are you sure? You've forgotten so much. The race finished 4 hours ago and you're like, oh, I think this happened. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, when you commentate a whole pro national by yourself, let me know how you do afterward.
Try working for a living. See how you go.
Wow. Anyway, thanks to AMX Superstores, Donnell, I hate to say it, but thank you. Renita, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And thanks for listening. Go to amxsuperstore.com.au and sometimes, wow.
Anyway.
Yeah, if you listen to the sponsor read on the preview show, there was a gem that I said in there. we're going. See you in Horsham.
Somewhere. Thanks.